joint heirs. What does that mean? It means to participate in common. Now, I think it's important that you grab onto that because it means you're a child of God, and it's very common for a family to practice things together, to participate in common. That's what the Greek word translated into English, joint heirs, means. So it's a very important word, and it's a word that we're going to kind of focus on today. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Basically, the subject will be picked up concerning the saints of God. That's to say, those that love Him. And He gives the parameters here as to what it involves. And it should comfort you considerably. Okay? So, with that thought in mind, one of my favorite chapters, of course they all are, Romans chapter 8. Let's pick it up with verse 9, asking that word of wisdom from our Father. And it reads, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." That is to say, when your conversion takes place. "If so be that the Spirit of God," that what? I want you to focus on that. "That the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," now listen carefully, think on these words, "he is none of his." So, what is it saying? The Holy Spirit. For wherever the Father and the Son are, there is the Holy Spirit. Who has the Holy Spirit? There's only one holy. All others fall short. So it leaves a pretty limited field, does it not? Our Father, His Spirit, and His Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us. Think on it carefully. Don't let it be a stumbling block. No, if just understand it on your level. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you," that is to say, if you have accepted Him, "the body is dead because of sin." What? Because of Adam's sin in the very beginning. That when you repent, then it's washed away. There is no sin left over. It's gone. He paid the price. "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Not our righteousness necessarily, but His righteousness. For He was the only true righteous one. And when you love Him, and when you place your sins upon Him with a repentant heart, it's gone. Don't even mention it to Him again. He doesn't want to hear it. It is, if you don't believe Christ has the power and authority to wash away sin, I don't know why you would choose to be a Christian. For He totally, completely forgives that He has told you to repent for. No problems. He is your Father. He's the closest relative you have. You may have mothers, brothers, fathers here in flesh, but your Heavenly Father is the closest relative you have, for He is the Father of your eternal soul. And if you have Him in you, and have Christ as the witness that you accepted the Messiah He sent, then you're a child of God. You're family. And it doesn't hurt for you to look at it. The word common, as I used earlier and I'll be mentioning again, means you have a common cause, because it's your family, all of God's children. Okay. And verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." Let me read that again. I want you to take this real slow. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." Who raised Jesus up from the dead? God's Spirit, of course. "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also," promise, absolute, "shall also quicken," this word in the Greek is make alive, "your mortal," mortal in the Greek tongue means liable to die. In other words, He will quicken or make alive your liable to die bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We're talking about a very close family tie here. It isn't some spiritual thing that you can fluff off and say, well, that's just the spirit. No, it's real. Do you know why? Your spiritual body is your only real body. This flesh is going back to dirt. Your real self is your spiritual body. The one that steps from this flesh at the time of death and transitions into an eternal body to be with Him. So we see some promises here that should be very comforting to you. Okay? Verse 12. Therefore, or because of this, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Things of this world shouldn't be all that important to you. 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Period. It's that simple. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, what does that mean? Put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So after you accept Christ, naturally, though we all fall short, you've got to try and you've got to repent, and then you're doing fine. You're doing good. And if you think what I'm saying gives you a license to sin, you are sadly mistaken and not hearing the words of God. Okay? Because it makes you want to do better. It gives you the desire. Why? My goodness, you're a child of God. He has a mission for you. He has something for you. Look how he helped old Job up and said, Satan, what do you think about my boy here? Ain't he something else? Well, Satan is called the accuser for a very good reason. He accuses you before God also. And God likes to put him down and say, not that one, you don't. Now, my words, yeah, but it's backed up well through the book I aforementioned. So he makes you want to live a life worth living. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now show me the qualifications on that. You should always read, watching the subject, what are the qualifications? What are the conditions? The conditions are, for as many whom or whosoever will, as are led by the Spirit of God. What is that? The Holy Spirit. You can't con God, then you are sons of God. You're family. Okay? Now, I don't want to overplay that, but it seems with what is taught, we have to. We have to make sure you understand your father didn't get up this morning to zap you. He got up this morning, if he ever went to sleep. So much goes on nights anymore, he's got a full-time job. Okay. But he's not looking for someone to zap or someone to put down. He's there to help. Why? Because you're family. That's why. And again, I want to emphasize, it's the closest family you will ever have. I could go a step further. In the Spirit, it's the only family you can have, unless you're in Satan's family, and you know something, it's not going to be around long. So you are sons and daughters, children if you prefer. That's what the word is in the Greek, children of God. That's why he loves you so much. Why? He fathered your soul. Every parent loves their children. And especially the real family, which is to say your spiritual family, which is to say Almighty God, he loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but he loves you. And you know something? Those that are set aside, that's what the word saints means. It doesn't mean you're a holy Joe or something like that. It means God's got his hand on you and you're trying. And I'm going to tell you something. That's saying a mouthful, because there's not all that many that do try to be pleasing to our Father. So the limitation on that, as many as will. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. You received the spirit of your father, not the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or that's really my father. When you're adopted into the family, you can't help say, that is really my dad. That's my father. I don't want to play that down to where it's irrelevant. It's not, does not reverence our father, but at the same time, he is our father, and we have every right to reverence him because he gets the big rocks out of the road for us if you're doing right. He sees that you don't have too many, any more problems than you can take care of. Some of us, he may give more problems, but hey, he knows we're can-do type people. We can cut it. We can kick them big rocks out of the road ourselves. But he knows you. And some he expects a little more of. Why? They're just can-do type people, that's all. And God knows it. Why? You've been tested by fire in the Katabol, the rebellion. God knows what he can count on from you. And he always has that hope that you'll mature and be a far better person yet. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. There's a mesh there that we are the children of God. You feel like a child. Why? Because every time you have an anxious moment, you say, Father, help me. Father, I don't know which way to go. What's he going to do? He's going to touch your mind if you're a child of God, because he is your father and he will never leave you, nor will he will never forsake you. He's the one you can count on. And again, now you know what a wimp would say at this time. Oh, Daddy, why don't I be able to count on him every time? Because he's not a child of God. That's why. God doesn't practice wimps, okay? That's somebody that's on a poor me pity trip. You have to love God enough to know that as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's verse 13, he will never put more on you than he would that's not common to anyone else, and he will never put more on you than you can bear, and he will always, always give you a way out. You can ride with that, can't you? You know, I can. You know, it may get a little salty and it may get a little tough, but I know he knows my limits. And he's going to give me a way out, and it'll be honorable before it's over with. Why? Because he promised it. Our Father said it, and it's so. You can count on it over and over and over again as long as you are serving him, as long as you are part of the family. Because it's a family thing. We didn't hatch out like a bunch of scorpions out here from under rocks in the country. You came from God. Why? Because God created your soul. He's your father. Therefore, he can call you children. Okay. You're not insects. You're precious children of Almighty God. 16, I'm going to read it again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that mesh, that family, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, God owns everything. I mean, he owns it all. The universe, this earth, and others. Planets. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, you know, some people just ride along fine as long as the going's easy and everything seems, you know, palatable and pleasing. But people like to try to work their own salvation out. Like, I'll go along with that, but you've started meddling and gone to preaching here, you know. Example, they don't like that word suffer there. It just doesn't seem Christian, suffer. Well, you know, if you've been a Christian and made it public, you know what suffering is. It's getting where you hear snickers, even on national television. You know, does that cause one to suffer? Well, it doesn't make you feel good, but at the same time, you know why you're so needed. Joint heirs, sancleronum, us. That's what the Greek word is. Sancleronomos. And it means to participate in a common cause. Now think about that. Have you ever thought of God's participating with Christ as being a common thing? It is if you're family. You're a part. And He expects you to be a part. When you're in a family, if the family suffers, you're going to suffer a little bit too. But you know something? Hey, Satan, if you're his enemy, you're in good standing. Because that means you're against him. And you're in God's camp. You're supposed to be against Satan. And as long as Satan is he's the prince of the hour right now. Prince of the air. And if he can snooker you, that's an old military term, or it's kind of a pool hall term, okay, to get snookered. Don't let him snooker you. All right? Don't let him get you cornered. Fight your way out. Why? Because God has given you the power and the authority. Let me ask you something. Do you use it? When your family gets in some big squabble and it's just about to turn into a knockdown drag out, for heaven's sakes, love your family and throw Satan out. Tell him to get out of your house. Order him out. Take authority. Stand up and be a man or a woman or a child of God and mature a little bit to know God will take care of it if you'll fight. What does this word suffer actually mean? It's sumpasco. Sumpasco. What does it mean? It means to experience pain jointly. I want to say that again because I want you to get this. Experience pain jointly. Does it hurt you when you hear someone curse Christ? It does me. As a matter of fact, it does more than hurt me. It just about makes this old Irishman fighting mad. All right, I ain't going to put up with it. So, naturally, it hurts. Now, if you go out, I'm going to start all over. Now, we've explained this in the Greek. I want to start this verse all over, and then we'll go forward. So I want you to make sure you understand. And if children, if you're in this great family of God, and you are, then heirs of God, you stand to inherit everything. You're rich. That's why he would tell the church of Smyrna, I know you're poor, but you're rich. Okay. And joint heirs, that means to participate in common. It's yours. It's family. With Christ, if, oh man, there's the biggest word in the Bible. It truly is, because so many people skip that. They don't want to hear that part. If, in other words, if you don't do the if, you're not in the family. You got that? It's a condition. And God is very fair in his condition. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may all be also glorified together. Now many might say, well, if you really get out and teach the word and make a stand, they're going to write about you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to write falsehoods about you. But you are supposed to be able to drink poison. That's a figure of speech. Don't go do it now. Be done. But it's an idiom that simply means your character is too good for anyone to smear. All right? It means they can say whatever they want to you about you. Your people are going to know you. Your family is going to know you. And don't think they're not going to talk about you. You're looking at kind of an example of it right here. I think I've been called about everything under the sun. But that's all right. Hey, when you know you're hurting Satan, bear down. Don't let off. Okay, I mean take names and kick dragon. All right? You don't slough off just because someone, and if you get a little notoriety, don't worry, your fame will go out fast and far. Maybe that's not a good way to look at this, but I don't know any other way that if you let yourself suffer, then so be it. But don't let yourself. I mean, if someone tells a lie about you, you know it's a lie, so you don't have to sweat it. Why? God knows, and He has said, touch not mine anointed. And I'll guarantee you He means it, because any group that has come against this group, we have had to do very little before they're taking bankruptcy and they're gone, they're out, they're finished. Why? God will not tolerate anyone touching His anointed. And I'm talking about the family. That is common. Any whomsoever will. They're a part of that family, and He won't have them hankied with. That doesn't mean you're not going to get some flack. That doesn't mean it won't hurt a little bit, all right? But be big enough at the same time to know, hey, this is going to be fine because Father's going to take care of it. I heard the little children singing. A lot of people that have heard that song about we can pray wherever we want to, in school or wherever, they would think they're teaching them to disobey the law. No, very intelligently, they were saying, in our mind, we can pray wherever we want to, and Father reads our mind. And nobody knows the difference. It's just like you can be talking to God right while we're having this conversation. He hears you. He knows what you're thinking. That's why I did the tape titled Heart Knower, to try to take it from the Greek, which is cardio knower. You know, that He understands your heart, which is to say your mind. He knows what you're thinking. So don't ever let anyone come between you and the Father. The suffering goes along with it. Christ suffered the cross. You're not going to have to do that. It isn't written. But as he would say in the 17th chapter of St. John, if they would treat him that way and you follow him, you're asking for it. A lot of people will make the prayer, oh, if I could just walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and the whole world comes at them, bam! And they, oh, God, what happened? Well, you were in the footsteps of Jesus. It did him too. So you want to watch out what you ask for. You might get it. When you're ready, fine. Okay, when you know how to knock Satan off of your back and kick him out of your house, hey, have to it. He too. For God gave you, in the great book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 18, 19, power and authority over Satan. Or is it Luke? I believe it's Luke. I'm misspeaking here. Matthew. It is Matthew. Stripped of gear there. My computer must have crashed. That's bad. Never think any man's perfect, all right? Sometimes I do little things like this purposely just so that you do your own homework, okay? Just remember that. Always check out man, this man or any other man. Stick with God's Word, all right? But He gives you authority there over all, not just Satan, all your enemies. That includes earthly, heavenly, high places, principalities, the whole smash. He gives you carte blanche, power, authority over your enemies as long as you do it in Christ's name. You have Christ's Spirit in you. If you don't, you're none of His. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just the way the old cookie crumbles, friend. And I mean, God loves all of His children. But if you can't do it God's way, someday we'll be teaching to where all will. Thank God for the millennium. And it is coming. If you are willing to suffer with Him for calling yourself Christ man, that's Christian, then He's going to stick with you. But the thing I want you to know coming out the gate, it means to experience a like suffering or pain. And it's going to happen Does pain turn you off, or does it get your dandruff up? Well, that's a no figure of speech, isn't it? Maybe many of you don't have dandruff, so we'll have to find something else. They've brought out so many new stuff and products that nobody's supposed to have it anymore. But be that as it may, if someone insults the foundation on which you stand, pick the right and opportune time to correct it. Now listen to what I said. That doesn't mean lose your temper and jump all over somebody. Pick the right time and place to correct it. In other words, if you're going to saw somebody's limb off, saw it off when he's not expecting it. Okay? That's kind of an Irish attitude toward it and all that, but then that's why everybody loves the Irish, I don't know, or hates them, whatever. I'm sorry, I shouldn't go into that, but hey, it's been a long month and I made it through and I got a week off coming up, so I feel real good. I'm going to get to rest a while and rest, if you call gardening and farming and plowing, but to me it is, that's a tonic. Back to the subject. It's not, he didn't promise you a bed of roses. That's why many people say, oh, sweet by and by, that preacher's getting on my toes, I'm leaving. Hey, bye. I mean, there are churches like that. If that preacher doesn't stand right up there and line down and say everything that's soothing or makes everybody feel good, you know, hey, he's either out of there or they are. Usually it's him. Okay. If he does. But see, truth sets you free. And when you know the truth from our Father's Word of what He will tolerate and what He expects from you, then you've grown. And then your life is not a shamble. You have an understanding with your Father. And believe me, He loves you very much. Do you know why? That's why He created your soul. He wanted somebody just like you. You got different fingerprints than anybody else. Your DNA is different than anyone else's. The DNA, the curve. We could even bring the sexes into this because it was that curve that he took from Adam and brought forth Eve. Okay, the DNA. So, how did I get on this? I don't know if anyone needs this or not, but I seem to be, in my mind as a teacher, digressing at points, and perhaps it isn't. Maybe it's not. But he created you because he loved you and he needs you. He wants you to be useful to him, but he leaves that. Isn't it good of him? He's not going to force you to. He leaves that totally and completely up to you. Especially if you're not one of his election. If you happen to be one of his election, he's going to get your attention. He's going to whip you. He's going to thump your gourd, all right? And you're going to wonder, well, what does the Father want now? And he's going to tell you, okay, in one way or the other. But my whole point is the condition, if you want to inherit the world, and that's basically what we're talking about, but I hope you don't look at it in that respect. It's all the love and peace of mind that you could put together, a package of beauty, this old world back as it was before the overthrow of Satan. There were palm trees in Arizona. There were also palm trees up on the north shore, bench up where they're in Alaska near the North Pole. Why? How do I know that? You can find them there. They're petrified. And the dinosaur fossil remains of where they could not live in Arizona, New Mexico, or Texas today because they have to require lush greenery. It was there then. Okay. So this old earth itself cries out, as we're about to read, to go back to that peace that you're going to inherit if you are in good standing with him. Okay, verse 18. Little suffering goes with it, but it isn't suffering if you're a child of God. Okay, you don't mind. You expect it. Get set for it. And handle it, remembering the verse I forementioned, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He's not going to put more on you than you can handle. All right, verse 19. I'm sorry, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, the suffering now is a mere nothing compared to what it's going to be. Okay, how wonderful it's going to be. Words cannot describe it, I'm thinking, into its fullest. 19. For the earnest expectation, that word earnest is a legal term in the Greek, and it means guarantee. That's like you put earnest money down on something if you want it, and you want to think about it a minute, you put down earnest money to hold a house or a suit or something else. Well, it's there for you. It's God's promise. Your earnest money is already down on it. It's a promise. The earnest expectation of the creature, translate that creation, because it's all in total, waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. That is, for God to choose who will and who won't. Verse 20. For the creature, or the creation, let's translate it creation, the world, nature, was made subject to vanity. He let man rule over it. That's bad, okay? Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Hope of what? Hope. You know what God's hope is? He lets you know in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, that it is, he's long-suffering, got lots of patience, and he hopes that all will come to repentance, but they're not going to. You can look around the world today and know that. It's not going to. That's his hope. The hope of others is they'll live eternally. Verse 21, because the creature, here it would better translate earth, the arets, terra firma, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's going to go back as it was, and it was beautiful. We've seen proofs of that in fossil materials. 22. For we know, not maybe, not perhaps, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's kind of like labor pains in the Greek, like the birth of the new age, okay? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We all look forward to that time when it's going to be perfect. Do you know something? We're going to be together for an eternity. Think about that. Whoa. I think it's great. Okay, we're going to be together forever. Forever. Always helping people and having it so good. We're going to have vehicles that'll just get it done, you know? Great time to live now. The prophets even wanted to live now in your place, that is to say, in this generation. 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Many of you pray for a vision from God, or that God will appear and show you something. I want to tell you one drawback to that. It's a beautiful thing, but that scripture means exactly what it says. If God does appear to you and you see and hear, then hope doesn't apply to that anymore, and the forgiveness of not having seen doesn't apply to you. To you, it's a reality. So again, you want to kind of be careful what you pray for. And if God should do that, you can cut it, I guarantee you. But at the same time, that's what the verse means. Okay? 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That really touches God. I mean, many of the apostles saw Christ. They saw the miracles. They observed them firsthand. And they, you know, they believed, but they had doubts. But you believe and you didn't see any of that. That goes a long way with him. So sometimes it's best not to upset the apple cart And again, God chooses sometimes, and he does have different rules for, he's always fair. I'm going to stop with that. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also keepeth, or helpeth rather, our infirmities. That's your weaknesses. The Spirit, if it's in you, God's Spirit and the Holy Spirit, if it's in you, it's going to help your weaknesses. You can count on that. That's a guarantee. And hey, don't ever say you don't have a weakness, unless you're much different than anybody I've ever met or known, okay? We all have weaknesses. He helps them. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings, that's sighs, which cannot be uttered. In other words, God's not going to tell you everything. But he will, when you come to that place and you're asking, he's going to give it to you. That's why many of you, when you study and you don't understand, well, stop a moment. Lean back, relax, and ask for help. I do this many times. And just, a whole paragraph just fits in and say, why didn't I see that? It was so simple. Okay. Don't be afraid to ask the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your Father's Spirit, Christ's Spirit, to intercede in your life. Because isn't that what you want? You want to do what they want? I hope your answer is yes. If it isn't, we better talk. Okay? Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth. Hearts is mind. He that searches minds knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Oh, that is so good, isn't it? Well, listen to the closing statement. According to the will of God. That's how it's going to be, and that's the way you should want it. God knows what's good for you. You may be asking for something that's going to hurt you bad down the road, which simply means you may ask for something today that's going to hurt you tomorrow, and God knows it. So he withholds it on you because he loves you. You want to always pray to the will of God. Now, I've heard some preachers say, that shows weakness. No, it does not. It shows love. It shows love and trust and faith in your Father to know that he knows what's best for you. That's why if your prayer isn't answered the way you want it to, you better humble yourself down and say, Father, help me to understand. And he will. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Did it say volunteered? The called according to his purpose, not yours, not the government's, not somebody else's purpose, not some nation's purpose, but God's purpose. Called for that. And we thank our Father for that, certainly. All things work to the good. In other words, whatever you get, if you prayed about it with God, it's going to be to your benefit ultimately. 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're going to go back to the first earth age and the Satan's first overthrow, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. That means he judged them there. That's what the word justified means. They were judged worthy, that he could count on them. That if he needed them and called on them, he could count on them. He knew what they were made out of. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can. Satan doesn't have power to. We have power over him. So it is best to take charge of your life. And I think you can begin to say, some people kind of winch when I say God doesn't tolerate wimps. Well, you know, a person that would be a wimp with promises like that made to them and authority given to them, what are you going to say to them? Pretty weak, huh? So they need help, and pray for them. Okay, turn with me to the great book of Galatians, if you would, real quickly. Book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. we have here kind of a different profile shot of what we've been talking about. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, "Now I say," this would be Paul, of course, writing to the Gauls, "that the heir," that's the inheritor, "as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." In other words, if he's a little bitty kid and he's going to inherit the whole thing, he's still going to have somebody over him until he comes to maturity. Got that? You know, he's got to be schooled and so on and so forth before he can take ownership. Think of yourself. You're heir of this universe. Do you know that? You think you know how to run it? I think you're not quite ready. Okay? I know how man messes this world up already. Okay, so we want to wait till we're ready. All right? But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. He's going to. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements." Translate that rudiments. It means the evilness of the world, the bad parts, you know. You were exposed to it. This is why many people get all shook up, and here I go digressing again, perhaps not, when they read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, "The elements of the world are going to be destroyed." And they say, everything. No, rudiments, just the bad stuff. The good stuff he's not going to touch, okay? So you don't have to, God's not looking for somebody to punish, okay? Again, 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." There went by the natural. You know, we got natural laws out here. If you jump off of this building, guess what's going to happen? You're going down. We got a law of gravity. So, in other words, it's a very common thing, except it was a divine birth. 5. "The, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That's what it was about. "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son," that's the Holy Spirit, "into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." He is really my Father, okay? 7. "Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." There is no difference in adoption. All come under that. It's yours. It's yours if you claim it. It's yours if you know you are that child. This is very important, beloved. Basic, yes. But very important, because God's love feeds upon this. God loves and cares for his own children. And you young ladies, if you think just because it's using the term sons, there's no gender in this. It means children. Okay. And he's talking about you as well. That's what I'm saying. "Howbeit, that when you knew not God," verse 8, "ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." In other words, when you were out there in the world, you seemed to serve that pretty good. Like to party, huh? Verse 9, "But now, after that, ye have known God," or rather, "are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements," rudiments, evilness, "whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage." Paul's kind of dressing this group down a little bit. They kind of went back to the wild again. Hey, don't you think for a minute that Christians don't have a better time in everything, partying and everything, all right? We just do it his way, that's all, and it's sure a lot more fun, all right? Verse 10, "Ye observe days and months and times and years." You make a religion out of them. "I am afraid of you," should be translated, "I'm afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." I might have wasted my time with a whole bunch of you. That's what he's saying. "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are." He was a Benjamite, and he knew. He said, "I'm a child of God. There's no difference in us. Ye have not injured me at all." What? You haven't wronged me at all. So why turn back and turn away from the true gospel of Christ? "You know how through infirmity, weakness of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first." When I first came there, You were so glad to have me, he's saying. 14. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not. You saw my weaknesses and what I'm really like, and that didn't bother you a bit. You just wanted the word, the gospel. Nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. You just couldn't do enough for me when I first came there, is what he's saying. 15. Where is then the blessed you spake of? Where is all that good tidings towards me that you showed at that time? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now many people wonder, here comes one of those little side trips, but I want to take advantage of it. Make hay while the sun shines. A lot of people say, what was that thorn God put in the side of Paul? It was his sight. This is why he said, you would have given me your own eyes. His weakness was he had poor sight. That's why Luke and others were always his scribe that did his writing and everything for him in large part. Okay? He said, you love me that much. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sometimes that can happen. The truth is harder. It's what we call today tough love. Okay? You know, boy, it would really be something to be able to preach to a bunch that all they wanted to hear was just the sweet by and by. Pie in the sky. Rejoice, rejoice. But that's going to get you in trouble if you're not prepared for the heavy-duty stuff. God wants children that are going to do His work, not the work of the world. So it takes a little bit of truth, a lot of truth from God's Word, to cock your pistol. By that I mean to have you ready up here for whatever might show up down that road where God can count on you, because you're going to know what to do, and what you don't know, God's going to lead you. If you believe that, you can trust it. That's earnest money already put up. He guaranteed it. Hebrews chapter 1 in closing. Fantastic chapter. Heirs of the promise. Joint heirs with Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. This letter was written to the Hebrews comes from the prime root Eber, meaning those that crossed the river, the 10 tribes and the others that were taken into captivity. Verse 1, chapter 1. God, whom at sundry times, many times, and in diverse manners, in many different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And what did that say? It said, by Christ, by his Son, he made the worlds. You want to think about that. Do you better understand now the polysyndeton in Genesis chapter 1, where it stipulates there, and, that's what the word and is, okay? It means over and over. God, through the, when the Spirit moved upon the waters, whose Spirit do you think that was? You just read it, okay? 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, listen, I know I've kept you here quite a while and I've been plunking at you pretty good, but don't read over that. I want to read it again. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express, that's exact, image of his person. In other words, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, made just like him. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged all our sins at the cross, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You can better understand then why God said, let us make man in our image. That means the Son was in the Father's image, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Why? I am that I am. I am Savior. That was his name. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son? This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. son. Our Father is explaining here why you're important to him. As you were justified into the similitude and the image of God back in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, this shows you how God is going to do it through why he placed our souls in the flesh to see which way you're going to go, which way you're going to decide, and you're the only one that can decide, okay? It's all on you. 5. For unto which, did we get that? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Well, if his name is Emmanuel, God with us, why wouldn't the angels worship him? Let me say that again. If his name is Emmanuel, as God said, call him, being interpreted God with us, why wouldn't the angels worship him? All right, you got it? And 7, and the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Now, if you've got a minister, man, woman, or child that's worth their salt, there's going to be a little fire there. It's going to draw fire. Why? Because the Word of God does, and that's what a minister is supposed to teach. Not his own, the Word of God. 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy, listen to this, soak it in, think on it. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That'd be a hard verse for some people. It isn't for you. Okay? Remember, Emmanuel, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. We have different offices, different roles. 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. You hate sin. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Okay? What does anointed mean? It means the anointed one. What is that word in the Greek? It's Christos, which is to say Christ. He was the anointed one that made salvation or entrance into that family open door to you, to each of you. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Boy, that'd be heavy for some, wouldn't it? 11. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And we do. 12. And as a vesture, as you would a mantle, I'd rather translate this mantle, and you'd get a little more depth to it. And as a mantle shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Man's flesh goes. His flesh was transformed. Had to be transfigured, rather. 13, I'm about to close. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now let me tell you something. Many people, when they all are, he must have shown favoritism to him, to himself. Why is he sitting there at the right hand of God? As your lawyer, okay, your intercessor, he's sitting there not because he wants to be comfortable, but to help you. Why? Because you're a family member, and it was his guarantee. He gave you that earnest guarantee, just like you'd already put earnest money down on it. Makes me uncomfortable to use dinero or monies for that subject, but yet it gets it said, okay? He's there not because he thinks he's something special. He's there to help you. One verse to complete the chapter, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, or through salvations be joint heirs with Christ? Now, I'm not going to do it, but if we were to continue on, all of you know that some of the words on the cross were quoted in the next chapter, that is to say about the 14th verse, where God goes on and explains why he came here in the flesh. Why? To show you he wasn't going to ask you to do something he wouldn't do himself. But he came for a little different reason than you did, as it is written in the 14th verse. He came to destroy death, which is to say the devil, Satan. Because Satan brought about the crucifixion of Emmanuel, God with us, therefore God. Yeah, it hurts one to destroy his own children. But now God doesn't have to worry to say, into the lake, boy, hop. And that's where he's going. But what will you be doing at that time? Joint heir. Boy, that's powerful. Okay. That means you sometimes you think, oh, I've sure got it rough. Never had a thing in my life. You got the whole world. It's real. The universe. Everything. More than you can ever utilize. You're heir of it. Jointly with the family. It's precious. It's beautiful. And it will certainly bring you peace of mind in your life today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, Father. Be with us this day. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen, amen.
The Companion Bible is a neat study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of St. John. What a fantastic book we have here in tape for you, for your convenience of studying as you drive or whatever the case might be, in the comforts of your own home. St. John, the writer of Revelation, as well as this great book of St. John. John taught in a way that he not only translated the word and interpreted